Let us now focus on factors which are critical to make service industry. First and foremost is the update or up-to-date product line. You will all agree that today the life of a product is reducing. It is decreasing day by day. Earlier we had a life cycle of a product in terms of number of years. Today we say that the life of a product could be in terms of days, it could be in terms of months, and maximum a year or two. So, updation of product in terms of technology, in terms of the design, in terms of comfort, in terms of delivery, there has to be continuous advancement in the product. And this is one of the most important or the most critical factor which can affect the services deliveries of an industry. So, customer expectations are changing day by day, and unless and until you create value in the product, or you create change in the product, or you bring in some attraction in the product, the existence of the company can be into difficulties. We all know that some of the companies which were listed on the BSE in 1985 do not exist today solely because they fail to change their products, they fail to change or adopt the changes which were required by the industry, they fail to serve their customers well. Second important parameter when it comes to services industry is the value-added services. This value-added concept is one of the most or one of the significant concept when you talk about the critical system in the services industry. The differentiators in the services could be value adds. We all see some of the value adds from companies like Vodafone, companies like Airtel. They are continuously delivering value added services to their customers in terms of ringtones, in terms of internet services, in terms of free SMS services, in terms of so many services which create so much of value to the customer, thereby increasing his productivity, thereby increasing his convenience, thereby increasing his peace of mind. So, value adding is one of the major important drivers of the service industry, and everybody has to focus if they need to succeed in this industry. One of the best examples of the value add services when we talk about the service industry is the education sector itself. We see when we talk about online services or online education system, lot of education systems are there and a lot of institutes are providing education through their online medium. But when you talk about value add, some of the value adds which we are providing in terms of the online facilities, the online lectures, the online content, which is really creating a difference in the marketplace. So I'm sure you are clear with the concept of value-add services. The other important parameter when you talk about value-add services is the total customer support. Till yesterday, we were talking about one providing some service, the other vendor providing the other services, and thereby creating value. But now, today, the concept is, can you really provide the total value or the total value solution which customers are looking forward for? The other parameter is the integrated solution. As I have rightly told you that value is created out of total solution, and therefore this integration of solution is very important. We all know that many a times customer is not very interested into technicalities of product. He is more interested towards application. He is more interested that how is he going to use the product. He is also interested in how the product is going to be serviced in case there is a problem with the product. Therefore, companies have to come up with total solutions, thereby providing the customer peace of mind, thereby providing the customer of one-stop solution for all their problems. And therefore, when you talk about bundling effect of the service or bundling the total package to the customer, this becomes very important, and it can be again a strategy for a lot of business houses today. Business processes thereby is another important parameter which can differentiate the system. And today when you talk about updation in the technology, there is always a concept that if the processes are right, there is every likely possibility that things or the services are going to be right. So every industry or every service industry is trying to standardize their processes, trying to develop their business processes, trying to lean their business processes in such a method so that customer is happy about it, customer sees a lot of value in the process, and as a business, the marketeer or the business owners also see a lot of value in the business. We have always already seen the concepts which are floated in terms of business models of Amazon, business models of Flipkart, business models of eBay, which are definitely creating a lot of value to the customer and also creating a lot of value to the business process, creating a lot of profitability and productivity in the system. Another parameter is the customer-focused frontline organizations. Before that, let me complete the factor which is accountability. Accountability is another important parameter which is so important when you talk about service industry. With the expansion of business processes and use of technology, there is a lot of complexity in the system. The more the solutions, the more the technology, the higher the complexity. So as the systems becomes more and more complex, somebody has to be made accountable for the complexity, and somebody has to be made accountable for solving the problems of the customer. So there is a lot of issues in terms of accountability. So if somebody is made accountable in the process, if somebody is made responsible along with the accountability part of it, I'm sure the services delivered will be much more reliable. The service delivered, which will be more of quality. But the entire issue here is what will be the attitude of the service delivery guy. So accountability is not only the ownership, but in terms of delivering the services in such a fashion that sincerity is reflected in delivering the services. So as it is rightly said by one of the great scientists, that when we talk about the service delivery model, good manners alone cannot deliver great services. Good manners along with sincerity create a service model. Otherwise, good manners will be like a beautiful lady who is not really alive. So when we talk about services, attitude, sincerity along with good manners and good best practices will give a lot of life to services industry. Customer focus frontline organization is another very, very important and touchy area for a lot of organization. We will all agree that customers do not interact with senior management by and large. They interact largely with the frontline guys in the organization. And it is the attitude of the frontline, it is the culture of the organization which is getting reflected, and the frontline is the representation of the organization by and large. So when we talk about sales, when we talk about services of for any product, it is the frontline guy who is going to deliver services to the customer. Therefore, his communication skills, his interpersonal skills, his presentation skills, his mannerism, these will be all be the representative sample of the culture of the organization. They are also important because customer is directly in contact with the frontline guys. In short, if we see, they are the creators of moment of truth with the customer. So if you are talking about good moment of truth, it is so important that frontline guys in the system need to be highly focused, they need to be trained, they need to be told what is to be done and what is not to be done. So they need to be aware of do's and don'ts of the industry. Another important factor which is very, very critical is the flexible and responsive back-end organization. The frontline person should be allowed to focus directly on the customer, but there has to be enough of back-end system, there has to be enough of back-end support system which is going to create or which is going to support the frontline. There is always a gap when we talk about the frontline and the back-end. A lot of times it does happen that frontline has committed something, but because of inefficient back-end, the delivery fails or the customer is kept in dark. And therefore, if this gap is reduced, there is a possibility of one creating a better customer satisfaction. There is a likely possibility of creating more value with the customer. We can use definitely here the concept of technology. or we can create the concept of transparency in the data between the backend and the front end, so that front end is aware, or at least he is in line or he is in loop with what is exactly happening in the backend, and thereby he can commit to the customer what is really delivered or what can be really delivered, and there won't be any gap between commitment and commitment of the or honoring the commitment. So the gap which exists normally in backend and front end has to be reduced, and it is the responsibility of the backend that they need to be more flexible, they need to be more responsive in supporting the front end. Technology today is changing the role of services. Technology today is changing the methods of doing business. Technology is changing the lifestyle of human. Technology is changing many, many things. So since technology is changing many things and everything, services industry cannot be kept aloof. Or the other way of putting it is technology is the backbone of most of the services industry. So if technology is so important, somebody need to really understand that what is that which is going to be used from the technology part of it, what is the trend in the technology which is applicable in the marketplace, so that only that technology is used or that technology operations is used, so that it creates productivity of the system, thereby creating customer profitability, customer enhancement or customer value creation. But the unfortunate part when you talk about technology is people have been using technology with a speed, sometimes without realizing that they are not using the right technology. It is so very important that whenever we are using technology, this right word becomes very, very important, because unless and until the process is mapped and the systems are understood, rushing onto technology can be sometimes dangerous and can yield or can get into too much of investments. So first is important that let us understand what is the process, let us also understand what is the method, let us understand what is the outcome, and then aligning the technology with the need of the process. This application in this format is going to create a lot of yield for the customers, for the business owners, and thereby creating a more healthy and productive system. Last but not the least is managing continuous change. As I have already told you during the earlier slides, that change is something which is so important. This factor is so important that without continuous change, probably systems do not exist today. You will all see that we keep on changing our mobile handsets probably every 3 months or 6 months now. Many people change businesses or the technology in the businesses the moment there is a need to change. Many companies are deploying a lot of initiatives of change management with regards to technology, with regards to process improvement, with regards to process management, and a lot of companies have been very, very successful by doing these kind of implementations. It is a critical factor that if the senior management has a very clear vision, then the future of company is into safe hands, and this change management becomes effective in those kind of organization. This requires a lot of future thinking, which has to be supported by very, very strong market research and customer surveys. This data from the market research, this data with regards to customer, and this which can actually translate into clear vision and strategy. Once the vision and strategies are in place, an assessment can be made to determine a baseline for change, and plan can be developed to make it happen. It is a strong belief that if somebody can manage this change effectively, probably the industry is going to thrive higher and higher. We have seen some of the companies like Apple, some of the companies like 3M, some of the companies like Flipkart and Amazon, which are ready to change their processes, which are ready to adapt to the technology, which are ready to change as per the requirements of market and grow with a great speed. Next important parameter whenever we talk about services is what could be the differences between the physical goods and the services. this section or this is interesting and very important to understand, because there are a lot of differences in terms of deliveries, in terms of challenges, and in terms of the behavior part of it. Because people who have been very good on physical goods have failed sometimes on the service deliveries, and sometimes people who are very good on services have not done fairly well with the physical goods. And therefore, it is important to understand what are these key concepts or the differences which are so important to understand when we talk about the physical good and the service industry. The first one, which is the most common one for everybody, is the tangibility part of it. You all know that physical goods are very, very tangible and services are intangibles. When I say what is tangibility, we talk about that you can feel the product, you can touch the product, you can see the product. In terms of services, it is little difficult to see, feel or touch the product. So services are more intangible, they have to be experienced, and physical goods can be seen and touched, and services need to be more of in the experienced format. The second important parameter is the ownership. When we say ownership, I would give you an example that when you buy a house, probably you become the owner of the house, but when you consume the service, probably services are still with the owner, or services are still with the provider of the services, or he has delivered the services and you have consumed the services. So in reality, there is no ownership of services. Or even if somebody is owning the services, transferring the ownership of services is little difficult. But you can always sell your house and transfer the ownership of house to somebody. You can sell your vehicle and transfer the ownership of the vehicle in somebody else's name. So transfer of ownership is possible in terms of physical goods, but it is very, very difficult or next to possible in terms of services industry. Third is the method of production or the production system. So when we talk about production, in terms of physical good industry, it is seen that the product is produced at one site and it can be consumed in the market. But in terms of services, services are produced and consumed at the same place by and large. Services are produced and consumed at the same place by the customer. It is provided by the service provider and consumed by the customer. The production could happen at the site of consumption itself. But in the case of physical goods, the physical good can be produced in a factory, it can be produced in a farm, and then it can be produced in a plate, or it can be produced in the marketplace. So that is another parameter which really differentiates between physical goods and the services. Next is the inventory. Before inventory, I would again like to share with you that during the production of the services, many a times or most of the time, customer is a part of manufacturing of the services. Customer is a part of manufacturing of the services. Means customer can intervene during the production of the services. Customer can influence the production of services. But in case of physical goods, by and large, customer has no role or has very, very less role in terms of the production part of it. And customer is away from the production site when it comes to physical good, but he can be a part of it in terms of services. In terms of inventory levels, you can inventor or you can store the services. Sorry, you can store the physical goods, but you cannot store the services. Services are produced and consumed at the same time, and therefore they cannot be stored. In terms of physical good, you can store it in shelf, you can store it in based on the life of the product, you can store them and then probably sell it to the customer as and when required. Next is consistency. When we talk about the consistency or the standards of quality, it is easy to maintain the consistency level in the physical good industry. But when it comes to services deliveries, there is a lot of heterogeneity in the services, because when we talk about the service delivery pattern, the environment is responsible for service manufacturing, the customer, the type of customer is important when you talk about the process of manufacturing, or the producer of the service is again important. So there is a likely possibility of a lot of heterogeneity in the services, whereas there is very, very less chances of heterogeneity, means the physical goods are more of homogeneous in nature, or there can be high consistency in physical goods, or there can be very, very low consistency or very high heterogeneity in the services industry. When we talk about standardization, we have always seen that there is a very high level of standardization with the physical goods. You pick up any soap in the retail outlet, probably every soap appears to be same and similar. When you talk about the service consumption pattern in a same hotel, every time you go to a hotel, you can experience a different type of service. You can experience a different type of environment. So, standardization in services is very, very challenging and difficult, but standardization in a physical good industry is comparatively easier and is largely followed in most of the physical good industries. Performance-wise, when you talk about measuring the performance, quality measurements in terms of physical good industry is pretty easy because the processes of manufacturing are standardized, the production patterns are standardized, the raw material is standardized, and therefore measurement of quality is pretty easier, and therefore you can comfortably measure the quality of the process, or you can continuously measure the performance of the system. But with regards to the services industry, there is always a challenge there, again in terms of involvement of customer, in terms of service manufacturer, the environment, and a lot of uncertainties which are inbuilt in terms of services. So in terms of service delivery mechanism, it is difficult to measure the performance of the service provider. The next factor is the customer involvement. As I have shared with you that customer involvement is very, very high with regards to services industry. Sometimes customer can influence services to a large extent, whereas when you talk about the physical good industry, the customer involvement is very, very low. I'll give you an example with regards to the customer involvement in a banking industry, that when a customer reaches, example, that customer reaches a bank counter and he's asking for some notes, say, he gives a check of 20,000 and he is expecting a cashback of 20,000 rupees. Now, when he is expecting 20,000 rupees, the most easiest thing for a service provider or the cashier is to give you notes of 1,000 rupees each, so that they have to count only 20 notes. So probably they do it that easy job and give it to the customer. Customer sometimes may not like the behavior or may not be interested in the 20 notes. Probably he would be looking for more change. If he requests the cashier, most of the time cashier will say that I don't have any change and you please manage the change outside. But if the customer is influential, if the customer is impactful, probably he creates an impact at the service provider, and service provider or the cashier is forced to deliver change. So what I mean to say is, in terms of service, customer can influence the way services are being delivered, and therefore customer involvement is very, very high with regards to service. In terms of physical goods, there is hardly any influence. The one reason why a lot of banks are shifting their processes of cash delivery mechanism to ATM from human is, when an ATM delivers you whatever notes, you collect those notes and you move off. You can't shout back to the ATM for change and all that. And a lot of banks are working in that mechanism to deliver you the kind of change you are looking forward for. But reduction of human involvement in terms of delivery of services is one of the methods of standardizing the service processes. The variability part of it, which is another important parameter when you talk about the differences in physical good and services, there is less variability in the physical good industry because of standardization and the product process mechanism. But in terms of service delivery mechanism, the variability is pretty high, and solely because of human interventions, solely because of the circumstances, solely because of the methods of customer or the types of customer somebody interacts or somebody is a part of manufacturing. So variability is going to be a little higher in terms of services and will be very, very less in terms of physical code. We have already discussed the methods of performance, and therefore evaluation, if we talk of evaluation, the performance measurement is easy to evaluate in the physical code industry and thereby very difficult in the service industry. Another important differentiator is the distribution channels. So creating distribution channel in a physical code industry is pretty easy because there is a lot of experience in the physical good industry. But when you talk about standardization of services and creating channels of services, it is equally difficult to maintain the same standards, represent the global standards or whatever standards you have set in is very, very difficult. So we will see that these are some of the important differences which we need to understand if we need to clearly demonstrate that we need to deliver better services, we need to understand the operations of service mechanisms better, and we need to deliver efficient service models to the customers. Next in line is the concept of service management. Now, before we end this chapter, we will try to help you understand what is this service management all about and how this service management concept will set the tone for the chapters to come in and will help us understand build the services, because what is the body of the service and how this service management is so important and what are the nuts and bolts of the service industry. This will give us fair idea about what is the service management concept all or is all about. The large concept is displayed in the slide, and which starts from the management policy, which largely defines the service cycle management and the life cycle management capabilities. So what is the capability, how are we going to monitor the capability, and what is the quality of service management, what is the quality of management or the quality of service management in terms of their capability. Once the capability is understood, somebody has to understand how are we going to manage the service delivery, how are we going to be managing the performance of service delivery, and who is going to deliver the service to the customer, how they are going to be managed, and how are we going to continuously upgrade ourselves in terms of service delivery mechanism. So before we sum up the chapter, I will give you one example that how this concept helps us in understanding the service delivery mechanism. Let me tell you that when we break up the service body or the service product, there are three important parameters which create the bundle of the service. The first is the facilitating good, the second is the explicit good, and the third is the implicit service. When I say facilitating good, these are all those goods which are going to create the support services for the consumer. The second is the explicit service, which is the important service which is going to be consumed by the customer. And third is the implicit service, which is that service which helps the customer understand the experience part of it. So one need to understand what is this service which is the explicit, implicit, and the facilitating part of it. Unless and until we understand these parameters, it will be difficult to understand what is this bundle all about. And unless and until we understand this bundle, we will be failing to understand this service design concept. I will give you one simple example to conclude this chapter, that when we talk about this facilitating good, probably if you are studying in a school or a college, at the end of the college, probably you would like to hire a cab or something, and you will see that how do you hire a cab. So the process of hiring the cab will be asked to you, and you will decide which and why that cab is being decided. So somebody, means a student, rolls out or he moves out of a college. There are three cabs in line. One is Centro, the other is Wagonaar, and third is the old Fiat model. I'm talking about an example from Mumbai city. For people in Mumbai, this will be easily understood. I'm sure the Centro and Wagoner are pretty known models all across the country, and everybody will understand. The third is the Fiat model, which is still seen in Mumbai, hardly few in numbers, but still in Mumbai, seen in Mumbai. I am assuming that you are to travel 50 kilometers. I am just telling you, now you have decided to travel 50 kilometers and you have to choose one taxi out of Centro, Wagoner or a Fiat. On what basis are you going to choose a taxi? So a lot of times when I had discussed this case, it is seen that a lot of people go by either Centro or Wagoner based on the look of the vehicle. Because a lot of times these vehicles like Centro and Wagoner, they look new, they look better, and therefore people choose those product. Fiat, which looks pretty old and may look little more shabby, and therefore people may avoid that product. So my question to you is, how are you going to decide which is the right cab for you? And I am also going to set what were your expectations. So suppose you chose a particular product, say Centro, and you boarded that taxi. When you boarded that taxi, you saw that the cushions were very good, the seat covers were very nice, and everything was up to your expectations. Now the driver asked you where you want to go, and probably you shared your destination point, and this was approximately 50-60 kilometers from your starting point. Now you have not seen the driver, or you have not experienced the driver. So driver starts his way and he zooms off the vehicle on the first gear, and the vehicle speeds up like anything. The moment he starts his vehicle and he starts around half a kilometer, you start feeling that the way he is driving the vehicle is not comfortable for you, and you are put into a very, very uncomfortable situation. Now you tell me what is going on in your mind. I am sure you are not happy with your decision. Why are you not happy with your decision? See, you took a cab which was looking very nice. You took a system which was up to the mark. But you never understood what are you actually looking forward for. Now if I really ask you why customers choose a taxi instead of a local train or a city bus, I am sure you will all agree that people want little more comfort, people want little more convenience. People have chosen, means if you have chosen by choosing a Wagoner or a Centro, you have chosen a good vehicle. But the most important element was how the driver is driving the vehicle. Now, if the driver is driving the vehicle in the best of the form, probably you are happy about it, because you were actually not only looking for convenience and comfort, you were actually looking for safety. You were actually looking for peace of mind. So customers are paying 2 times extra or 5 times extra when they use a taxi, not only for the comfort and convenience, but they are equally paying because they are looking for actually peace of mind. So when we are designing the service, we will have to understand that what is that factor other than facilitating factor and implicit factor which is so close to the heart of the customer, and that is peace of mind. So when we design the service product, we will have to consider that this factor called peace of mind, this factor called safety, this factor called convenience has to be kept in mind when we design the service bundle. I am sure with this basic understanding of service, what is the service and how are we going to deliver this service, probably you have got some essence of what is the service management all about. We'll meet probably little later in the second section, and we will take care of what are the classification and characteristics of services in the chapter to come. Thank you.